You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
you gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all? Yeah.
Our government cares about
they
you.
Ain't giving up a second thought about you. No. Ghetto people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell
ghetto
me.
People.
You gotta take a look at yourself. Yeah. Ghetto people. With your life
running like a red disease,
running like a red disease. Ghetto people,
stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself. You got to learn to love yourself. Ghetto people.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe. It simply means, so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. Good morning, Africans. How y'all doing this morning? You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshie. Peace, family. Hope everything is well with you. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you wanted to do, needed to do, should do, better do, must do, can do, will do. And I hope that the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But if it wasn't, I know the kind of brother and sister that you is. You got it done. You got it done anyway. We appreciate you for that fact. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to timeforanawakening.com. Look for the red, black, and green Lion with Africa Imposed. Click on that and you'll take you to previously recorded programs that are titled and dated, or dated and titled, whichever way you want it to be. Okay. This is African Perspectives, and like I said, we're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. There are other programs here on the Time for an Awakening Media. Also on Mondays, Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia from 6 to 8 p.m. Right after Acres of Diamonds is Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. And then on Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness, every Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. On Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern Time, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., not me, Sister POC. That's right, her program Revive on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And then Sunday evening, 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. He had Brother Manua Pim on last night. I didn't get a chance because I was out of town and I was preparing to get back here in town. I appreciate all those who hang in here. Oh, once again, the number to call for Time for an Awakening, for the programs that are on Time for an Awakening, this program, of course, is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Yeah, I want to thank the brothers and sisters in Richmond, Virginia, my friend Felicia Manns, Fire Captain Felicia Manns, and dance instructor at Happiness Dance Studios for hosting me and presentation I did there, and some other African-centered activities that took place. Went to the Legba Center and checked out a documentary. In fact, I'll talk about that. Once I get these announcements out the way, I'll talk about that. Yep. We Buy Black. We Buy Black. WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from WeBuyBlack.com, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. Check them out. Go online. Check them out. If you are in the Atlanta area, go to the Greenbrier Mall right off Highway 166, Georgia Highway 166. It's right there, and you can check out WeBuyBlack, WeBuyBlack.com. They got products that are produced by us. Laundry detergent. I mean, all kind of stuff. Just check it out. Okay. Africa for the Africans. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Go to AfricaForTheAfricans.org to find out when Brother Bomani Tayembe will be taking off again, taking a group of our brothers and sisters to the motherland. This year, he has three events. The first upcoming will be in May, and that's the Ghana trip that he takes around that time each year, about 14-day trip. The cost is $3,700, but if you contact him, there's a payment plan that you can get into. There is room, brothers and sisters. You don't want to miss this trip. Then he's at another trip in November to South Africa, Johannesburg and Cape Town. In South Africa from November 22nd to December 2nd. And then another Ghana trip at the end of the year, holiday trip, so to speak, if you will. And that is December 24th through January 4th. December 24th through January 4th. He didn't give me the prices on those, but you can see that the Ghana trip, 14 days at $3,700 all included, is very reasonable. Very reasonable. So check out Brother Bomani Tayembe. If you want to look at videos, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. If you want to look at pictures from previous trips, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to talk to the brother straight up, 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429. Get yourself ready for that trip, brothers and sisters. Please do. Books. We need to read, y'all. Reading with comprehension and understanding. We need to know what's going on. And one of the places you can find books and all kinds of artwork, furniture, artifacts, clothing, and so forth is the Shrine of the Black Madonna Cultural Center and Bookstore in the West End here in Atlanta. The phone number 404-549-8676. They're open Wednesday through Saturday, and on Sunday, of course, they have service there at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Also, too, they have a class. They have a Black History class, Know Thyself, every Saturday, free and open to the public. Free and open to the public, 1:30 p.m. until 3:30 p.m. And if you can't partake, you could also buy the information. That's right, the Black History Multimedia Library, the American African History Club, the most extensive cultural library of its kind. Over 15,000 video files, over 15,000 images, over 40,000 audio files, and over 2,000 books. It is 4.5 terabytes of Africa enlightenment. You can put that in your hand at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Other bookstores in the Atlanta area at the Greenbrier Mall, right next to the kiosk of We Buy Black, is the Medu Bookstore. Medu, which means writings. The word after Medu was Netcher. Medu Netcher. The Greeks said hieroglyphs. They were not hieroglyphs. They were Medu Netcher, the writings of the gods. And at the Medu Bookstore, you can check out books. If they don't have the book that you're looking for, I'm quite sure they'll get it. Another bookstore in Lithonia, Brother Kehinde Ajamu, the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore, 404-519-8107, 404-519-8107. There is Light in the Black Dot. Check him out. He also has the red, black, and green shoes, as well as the Shrine. They have the red, black, and green shoes if you haven't checked those out. Also, too, I got the white ones. That's right, I did. I got the white ones, brother. The UNIAs with the Ankh and Africa on it. Oh, it's beautiful. Yep. So, Us Lifting Us. Ulu, Us Lifting Us. Every Thursday night, they have a radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio at 9 p.m. Eastern from 9 to 10. please give them a call at 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789 at 9 p.m. And check out Ulu. Check out our cafe, Cafe Ulu. Also, you can go online, usliftingus.com. Please do so. You can go online to Cafe Ulu, CFEULU.com. And our cafe is located here in Atlanta on 2036 Sylvan Road, 2036 Sylvan Road in Atlanta. Our store hours, cafe hours, are Monday, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m., Tuesday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Saturday and Sunday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. And we sell coffee. We have African coffee. We have Cameroon, Tanzanian, Kenyan, Ethiopia, and much, much more. We have Brazilian, Panamanian, all kind. We had some coffee from Papua New Guinea. That's right. We sell coffee, loose teas, and everything that we do and sell at Cafe Ulu is produced by us, because that's what it's about, us lifting us. Another product we sell at Cafe Ulu that I'm constantly promoting, that is my good brother and friend, Brother Novak Young, Ambrosia. Ambrosia, the drink of the gods. All drinks contain alkaline water, ginger, turmeric, organic cane sugar, and chlorophyll. Also hibiscus, cinnamon, aloe vera, cayenne, spirulina. All good drinks. I'm going to break those down one day. I always say that, but I do. I will. Believe me. Excuse me. Akabin Institute and Akabin House 20th Anniversary Celebration, Saturday, March 2nd at the Sweet Spot, 675 Metropolitan Parkway. 675 Metropolitan Parkway. It is right near Abernathy Boulevard. It's east of the West End. It is east of the West End. This is Baba Baruti. I'm making this announcement right now, right here, right now, that next Monday, next week, Monday, my guest will be Baba Mwali Mubaruti. He will be my guest. I hope those who are listening will tell others. I'll put that out there. Baba Baruti will be my guest next week, Monday. And very important day and for what's happening with the Institute and Akabin House and ways that you can support the effort and the work that they're doing, because there's nothing more important than truly educating our children to be the fine African men and women they must be. And that's the work that they're doing. They ain't trying to educate some kids so they can go get a damn job, bake crackers for jobs. No. To be men and women of respect and nobility within our community, to fight for independence, to fight for self-determination, to fight for liberation, and to fight for sovereignty for African people. So next week, Baba Mwali Mubaruti and Yabaruti at the African Akabin House in their 20th anniversary celebration. The Inyesesim, African revolutionary thought. So I haven't been here in a while, and once again, I want to thank those who stepped in for me, Dr. Rogers, for that program he put on this past Friday. But we have these revolutionary sayings, and so I'm going to read a few of them that we missed. And of course, today is the 18th, and truly read today's saying. There's a phrase, an affirmation, and then of course there's Baba Baruti's narrative. February 14th. War for war, crime for crime, atrocity for atrocity. Jean-Jacques Dessalines. Anyone in reparations movement who was not talking blood debts is not speaking in the interests of our ancestors. For so many of our true warrior ancestors unequivocally stated, blood debts must be repaid in blood. This applies to all debts acquired through bloodshed, whether dated or newly acquired. Balance is restored through a return of what was taken, the return of equal value, equal sentiment, equal worth, equal pain, equal loss. inequality substitutes charitable returns which serve the interests and the I'm telling y'all, sometimes you have days like that. You see the word and it just won't come out. Return of equal value and equal worth. Inequitable substitutions and charitable returns would serve the interest and preserve the sanctity. Preserve. I couldn't even say that. And preserve the sanctity of the culprit's ego can never suffice. Without the return of balance, the reciprocal equivalent reparations, imbalance prevails, often disguised in the form of steal, victimized peace and love. Co-opted reparationists debate simply to keep our focus limited to the lost wages of enslaved Africans. Educational vouchers is a racist, defunct labor market or control over part of a manufacturing industry without distribution rights. But what is the face value of 280 million slaughtered Africans? Is there any equivalent material or privilege that can compensate for genocide? How does one compensate for taking life? Only radical Negroes proclaim that this is loss, is beyond repair and payment, except through deposits into their consumer accounts. For most, crying about reparations, the demand of blood for blood by our actions would end the discussion because it involves doing what everyone else does for their wronged ancestors. Affirm, I work for nothing less than an equitable return. Affirm, I work for nothing less than for an equitable return. February 15th. We can run, but we can't hide from the relentless pursuit. We must fight. We must find new ways to heighten our defense mechanisms. We must meditate, eat right, physically, mentally, spiritually, and we must draw on the energy of our ancestors. The black dot. What has been called Negroitis and the Vernon Jordan disease is a state of insanity that erases color. This is unintelligent because even cogently colorblind individuals take on pleasure in their impairment. They see no great glory in missing or dismissing enlightening dimensions of sight. No doubt some people see colorlessness in humanity because they are truly mentally blind. Having color while trying to be colorless is a most conscious and cowardly act. Great effort is placed on accomplishing a complete separation of the African from the Africans as the African in chronic denial of his or her revolutionary legacy chooses to be to the European way, chooses to teeter to the European way. Such colorless individuals are known the world over. In some places on the continent, they are divisively called compradors. In others, they are simply called what they endeavor to become, whites or Europeans. Here in this society, we knowingly mark them as Negroes, Negroettes, Orioles, Black Anglo-Saxons, Ubrugus, Black White Toms, Uncle Toms, sellouts, and other unmentionables. Affirm. I'm an African culturally joined to all Africans who are themselves. Affirm. I am an African culturally joined to all Africans who are themselves. February 17th. How can you claim that you want to be free when the one thing you'll be when you're free is the one thing you don't want to be? An African. Professor James Small. Africans trying to help concoct a new world within they can finally feel human without having to be African. Do so pretending that this current reality is not dominated by and wholly rooted in European imperatives. These Africans are claiming that they're even breaking away from the very idea of tradition. They're claiming to have no traditions except those which they now manufacture for themselves. This expresses a deeply schizophrenic ignorance of what tradition is. And it's laughable because no individual functions without a tradition. No group of individuals can start a society from nothing because someone taught them how to think and live. In that teaching, the tradition of the instructor is thereby transferred. This should be obvious because societies are not started by newborns, and a socialization which is no more or less than a life's instructions in the traditions which evolved out of the cultural way of that people begins at the first contact with physical reality. No matter how we look at it, because we know that every people follow a tradition, those confused Africans want to pretend that they do not follow the European tradition, as they certainly do. In and of themselves, every people is a tradition. No people is separable from their tradition unless they are no longer that people. Wow. No people is separable from their tradition unless they are no longer that people. Affirm, I am African. Affirm, I am African. Today, February 18th. What is a zombie? A zombie is a corpse reactivated by secret means from the grave. They can walk, live, and serve others, but is still dead. Kobina Asante. Zombies take their vanquishments and beliefs in the sacredness of white supremacy to the heart. They embrace an absolute denial of any African origin or connection, insisted on being amalgamated into what they consider to be a superior physical and mental type, work toward their rapid and complete subassimilation of the European way, and believe that they deserve no more than a conditional sub-integration into European culture and society. They will accept whatever price of Caucasianness that they can get because they are not their African selves. Zombies metaphorically search for ways to distance themselves from all that is African, especially Africans who are not working with them toward Caucasians' acceptance. Mindlessness makes them frightened creatures, doing all in their power to distance themselves from anyone who would get in the Europeans' march toward global domination. They would never think to question or interfere with those whom own them. As they distance themselves from us, we must distance ourselves from them. Warriors are not proselytizers, nor do we seek to proselytize. Warriors are not proselytizers, nor do we seek to proselytize. Affirm, I'm a living being with a living conscious mind that only I control. Affirm, I'm a living being with a living conscious mind that I, only I control. And you say some. A revolutionary daily thought, having the right mind. In fact, there was another piece I just saw Bubba Broody sent out. I think it's on point. European culture means insanity for Africans. There is no getting around that. It induces chaos into our order. No matter how we try to intellectualize their treatment of us, or our reaction to this mistreatment, we cannot negate the fact that this is their custom design reality and that it is patently anti-African. In order for us to become successful in their reality, we must become something other than ourselves. And to do so is nothing short of insanity. Baba Baruti, again, like I said, he'll be on the program next week, Monday. Next week, Monday, Baba Baruti will be on the program. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And we appreciate those who
listen, those who call in, and those who do all the things that we feel is very important for us to have a good program to talk about the issues that are affecting our people. Like I said, I was in Richmond, Virginia this past weekend. I want to thank my my good friend and sister, Felicia Manns, retired fire captain of the Fairfax County Fire Department, although she lives in Richmond, and for the programs that one of the programs was at Alegbe Center, the Alegbe Center on 1st and Broad in Richmond, downtown Richmond, and it had two documentaries. One documentary was a local documentary about the Shangho Bottoms. I believe I'm pronouncing that right. If I'm not, somebody from Richmond is listening, please give me a call at 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. And it is an area where our people, you know, all throughout the South, from Virginia, North and South Carolina, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, Kentucky, Tennessee, all of that is an area of the country. And that's just most specific because of that is our point of entry, so to speak. Some say 1619. First they said Jamestown, but now they're saying Point Comfort. I don't give a damn. But I only look at the 16, because then there's another year they said we came here at 1555. Once again, it doesn't make a difference. What makes a difference is how we deal with it right now, how we look at all those things that have happened and where we are right now. And unfortunately, collectively, we're not where we need to be or should be as an African people. We're still in this begging and pleading mode. And if you want to use 1619, that is 400 damn years. Way too long. 400 years. And somehow, in some way, we keep thinking that this Caucasian is going to change, have an epiphany, and wake up and say, oh, man, was I sorry? No, not sorry. In fact, to me, the only solution, when people talk about let's have some solutions, you know what the damn solution is? Get your ass out. That's the solution. There is no solution working with Caucasians, working with Europeans. There is no solution. The only solution is to be independent, self-determining, liberating, and sovereign. That's the only solution. And the way we do that is talk about how can we achieve it? What are the mechanisms? Baba Baruti is doing just what is important. And there's other schools like his that need to be supported. Our children need to be sent there. Otherwise, brothers and sisters, and some would argue already, we are doomed. We are doomed. I would hope that people would develop the philosophy that I have. That's right. We'll develop a philosophy that I have, and that is, I'd rather struggle in a world of my own choosing with other African people on land that is ours. I'd rather struggle in that than to be a fool in somebody else's dream. Because to Europeans, his dream is a nightmare for us. It's a nightmare. But for that 20%, of us here in America, particularly, that 20%, to hell with the 80% of us, the mass of us, I'm just happy I'm a member of that 20%. Oh, yeah, okay. I am a member of that 20%. I got a pension, nice home. I do this, that, and the other. I can live. And there's some who are doing much better than me in that 20%. Or 10% of that 20, I'm in the 10% of that 20. That it's okay. Doing all right. Doing well. A job, a career, a business, a pension, a good neighborhood, a subdivision, a cul-de-sac, a gated community. Fine. But of course, then there's the other 10% of that 20% who are doing exceedingly well. Entertainers and sports figures and actors and actresses and so forth and so on. Politicians. Now, a lot of the politicians, they don't do as well as the Caucasians because it ain't our stuff. It's their system. You have politicians who have been in office who come from the poorest districts, but they have been able to enrich themselves, and they keep getting elected year after year after year, term after term. Especially in Congress and Senate, there's no term limits. And I believe, well, you know what? Yes, I definitely believe in term limits. But once again, I really am divorcing myself from whatever happens here in this country so I can give less than a rat's, you know, believe me, about what happens. So it's not a problem for me. You know, we got a caller. Caller 404. Good morning.
Hey, my brother, how you doing, man?
I'm doing fine, Brother Wes. How are you this morning?
Hey, I'm still learning, man. I'm still looking at all this doggone sob stuff that's going on in the United States of America.
What people are sobbing? People like people crying? Or what are you talking about?
I'm talking about all this stuff on the fake news and news going on.
Well, you know, to me, everything that you ingest, you must look at it with a very scrutinizing eye. You must be very analytical. We as African people need to be the most analytical people, particularly here in the West, whether you're in Europe, here, or wherever you are outside of the diaspora. And also, too, on the continent, we must be able to think and rationalize and put into focus what is best for African people, not best for me and mine. No, what is best for us as African people, you know. So,
well, my brother, I think the number one disposition that I think the best for African people is this whole conflict resolution by not doing what the enemy want us to do, is arguing and take each other out with all these beefs that's going on, man.
Well, we've been conquered and divided. Well, we've been divided for a long time. And the methodology of so-called, quote, divide and conquer has truly been implemented, not just even presently within the last hundreds of years, but even way back, you know. So the bottom line is that we trust no enemy. We listen. I've been able to, Brother West, using my mind, which of course, you know, can sometimes be suspect, but no, I'm very conscious. I'm very well aware of what I do and what I say and my love for African people. My love is so intense that I reject anything and everything Europeans say. I reject it. If they say that the sky is blue, I said, hell no, it's green. I reject it. I listen to none of it. I'm respectful. I'm respectful of anybody, but I want what is going to be best for African people. I want a future for African people that we determine, that we have control of. We have control of our resources, our land, our people. We cannot do that here, Brother Wes. We cannot be truly who we must be here in the belly of the beast, in the midst of a open, sworn enemy, and who has acted like that from day one and continues to act like that today. So there is no, to me, a coming together of the minds. And I don't know, there are some Caucasians that I think they're nice people. And I think they may be well-meaning personally, but they're a minute few, because the Caucasian collective generally support what has happened to us and support continuing what has happened to us. You see? So
well taken, man. That's why mm-hmm. we know who the enemy is. And so that's why I say, once we quit doing what the enemy wants by dividing and taking each other out, okay, and it is some blacks that's not with us, some Sambos, because they will be found out, and them the ones that we, you know, just forget about them, man, because the Sambos, and concentrate on the real enemy is them, the white folks, and it's really, really simple, man. Because what I do is, especially when I talk to my brother and sister, even that sister you were talking about, with her mind all gone,
mm-hmm.
I still, them people like that, they just have to be disregarded and watched. And as far as going back over there to the motherland, man, like I said, when you had my brother on there, about these African leaders that's selling out, man, and they living good, and they taking money for the European on Africa too, man. They done colonized Africa, okay? So just like Ghana, when you got that military, they gave Ghana $21 million to put that military base up there in Ghana, man. Okay, so I look at all that, how they done colonized, you got these African leaders. You got had one African leader, I think it was Uganda or somewhere. What did dude come over here, like that movie Coming to America, and bought a $25,000 Lamborghini, man, while the people over there in their country starving, man. And that what really pissed me off, to see these brothers and sisters over in Africa so-called selling out. You see what happened in Haiti, right? Well, some money missing, because Venezuela was selling oil to the Haitians with a 60% discount, okay? And them leaders over in Haiti were selling it to the people with 100% markup. So they having a turmoil in Haiti right now, whether you know it or not. And that's the point I'm trying to make, man. I'm just sick of these black leaders selling out for the enemy and going against our own people like that, man.
I agree. And of course, you know, one could make the argument that the European who sets it up is not responsible. You know, they did it themselves. That's what they want to say to you. I will never forget in a discussion many, many years ago, this Caucasian said, well, your own people sold you in to enslavement. Your own people did this. They went into the interior of Africa and there was some tribalism and tribal wars, and one tribe, so-called tribe, I use that word because they're nations, so-called tribe conquers another one, and they send them into captivity and march them to the west coast of Africa for the European. That's what they want you to believe. Now, I understand what you're saying, Brother West. There's a number of corrupt individuals and leaders on the continent. See, when Sheikh Anta Diop argued for the unification of Africa, when Kwame Nkrumah came into the presidency of Ghana and argued for the unification of Africa, when Patrice Lumumba argued for the unification of Africa, when Idi Amin Dada of Uganda argued for the unification of Africa, all of those were disposed, murdered, exiled, all of them. Because the European knows that once, if Africa is ever united, it's over. But now the dynamics are even deeper because of all these other folks who are in Africa. The Chinese, the Arabs, who have been there for a long time and who control the northern part of Africa. But the Indians, the Koreans, they're all staking their claim. We're trying to get out and go someplace else, and they're trying to get in so they can take the mineral wealth of Africa, the land of Africa. You have Chinese, you have some Chinese marrying Ugandan women.
Yeah.
Has a way for that offspring to stake its claim for Chinese. You have Chinese, just like, I think, didn't you mention they have built some security state or police stations in some countries to protect their interests, their own police stations? Also, too, if you remember on this, you know, I often mention that when Chinese do something, they don't use the people of that land. They bring everything. They don't use the brothers and sisters. There ain't no jobs created. They're going to run the program. In fact, I heard recently, I can't remember which country it was, they helped build an airport. Payments didn't come, so the Chinese seized the airport. They now control the airport. And I think as an Eastern, I'm not sure if it's Ethiopia or Kenya, whatever. I'm not sure. But the point I'm making is that nobody should be controlling anything on the continent of Africa but Africans.
I agree, man.
There is no place, Wes, there is no place on this earth that we can go as African people and claim and then start doing something in that particular country. Definitely no place in Europe.
I agree, man.
But no other place else.
I agree.
But yet, everybody's trying to get their foothold into Africa while we, because of all the craziness, all the destabilization, all of the, oh man, it's just crazy. We're trying to get out.
I agree, man.
You know?
I agree, bro.
And everywhere we go,
man.
And Wes, everywhere we go, we are treated like dirt.
Yeah, they got the whole planet sold up right now, man.
You know, in Africa, Chinese people are treated with respect. But us in China, we are treated with so much disrespect, it's crazy.
Yeah, but I know I heard some brothers have flipped the script and moved over to China and started marrying and knocking up their women. Matter of fact, I heard a story a couple of weeks ago where a brother got beat up in China for capitulating with a Chinese woman.
Okay. That, and there it is. And that's what he get.
He just doing what the Chinese doing in Africa.
See, that's my thing. We always create these false equivalents. Well, they do it. Mm-hmm. They can do it. No.
Wrong,
no.
Wrong, man.
It's not designed for you to do it. There is never any equal footing. To those who want to suppress Africans, the adage is, do as I say, not as I do. Boy.
Like I say, they got the whole planet on lock right now, man. But they putting in it because they time is up, and even over here they say by 2040 America's gonna be dogs.
2040
for everyone.
They are saying even sooner than that. But you're right about 2040. They're saying
that. I think it's too sooner than that.
Listen to this, Wes. I don't give a damn if by 2040, because Europeans can't have children, they are dying.
Yeah.
You know, they've been experiencing negative population growth for years, decades.
That's right.
Okay. So for every two that die, only one is born, probably even more so now that. So yes, by 2040, their so-called majority status will now be, there will be a minority, and those who are called minorities will now be a majority in terms of that. But it's still, they are going to run it. Were they the majority in South Africa? Are they majority in South Africa now?
Right.
They still run it.
Yeah, I know.
See?
It's all a mind thing, man. See, once we realize that we the majority on the planet and take out, see, they use our power that we have against us, and they collect our power. Look at this, particularly this old Bodoon, this Bodoon, that after the magic of mind and creating, they using that now. Even what they do named Tom Brady, his wife talking about she a witch, okay, and she using our power or that we just had. See, black people are always showing them our power, okay, and telling too much. I'm looking at the price of doggone Negroes to show white folks how to cook collard greens, and not white people eat damn what's that, oxtail? Okay, that now they don't know what the price of oxtail now. Can't even find none. I mean, black people be giving away our power and telling these folks too much our secrets, man. And that's our downfall, man. Listen. So that's why when I learn the secrets of life or whatever secrets, I give it all to my black people. I ain't telling white people shit how to do nothing, man. I ain't mean to cuss like that on the network, man. But I'm not telling them folks nothing. Everything I get, I tell it to my people, man.
Yeah, well, I mean,
I'm sick of them, man. They always, every invention on the planet, we invented, and they steal the patent, and we give it to them. Look at my man, Famous Amos, how they tricked him out of his cooker recipe, man. He can't even put his name on the cookies that he came up with, man.
Well, there's many things that we have done we didn't get credit for, some that we did. I think the African genius is always and will always show through. But the bottom line is we will never be a people that we must and should be until we liberate our minds. We liberate our mind. It is about the mind. That's what it's about. I got another call. Let's just hang on, Wes. 267, 267. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Brother Oshie. Hey, good morning, Brother West.
Hey, Ralph. Hey, Ralph. What's up, right, Ralph?
Hey, you know, Brother Oshie, I'm listening to the dialogue, and I remember Brother Jay asked you and Brother Franklin Jones this about 2 weeks ago. He says, why shouldn't they do what they're doing? And you never gave Jay a good answer on that one.
Okay.
And neither did Brother Franklin. So that's why I'm bringing this question up. Why shouldn't they, the Chinese that's over there putting a foot up in their behinds, and this man here that's putting a foot up in our behinds? And Jay, I mean, I thought that was a good, honest question, because with questions like that, that's where growth comes from.
Mm-hmm.
So why shouldn't they?
Well, let me say it this way. I think that, you know, when I think African people, and I'm going to try to say what I'm going to say in a way that, in my understanding, being the first people, we were a people who understood that has human family that we're, you know, we're giving. We're sharing.
Uh-huh.
We're loving.
Uh-huh.
The European didn't come up that way. He came up in a harsher environment that was selfish and greedy. And because his mindset permeates the world, Western society permeates the world, Ralph, that selfish, greedy nature is happening to the world. There is no love. There is no kumbaya. There is no what's that Coca-Cola commercial from years ago? Remember that commercial? I like to teach the world and all that. But there is none of that. Okay.
Okay.
It is a world created by Europeans, which is dog eat dog. What is their line? Manifest, not the manifest destiny line, but the line that, you know, might makes right. Mm-hmm. Might makes right. If I'm the king of the hill, I'm top and I dictate. See? And so with that kind of mentality that permeates the world, that it has another good word, deleterious effects on African people, because we're not that kind of people. We're not that kind of people. But yet we have been constantly manipulated, undermined, taken advantage of, you know, and so forth. And so now today, on the continent and us throughout the diaspora, we are mistreated. Right. We are dogged out. We are manipulated. We are undermined. We, you know, It is our situation.
Okay. Well, that's those people's nature. So we know this. So since we know that this is their nature, and we know what they have done and who they are, again, like Brother Jay asked, why shouldn't they continue to be who they are? I think I got an answer for you, brother.
Okay.
Until we change.
Right.
Everybody should be that way.
Right.
Until we change.
Exactly.
Until we wake up and change.
Because they're not going to change.
They're not.
They're not going to change.
That's where real growth comes from, when we change.
Right.
So as long as we go for the okie doke and still vote for this Democrat, that Republican, this one, that one, still want TV shows, still want to do. Of course, the situation is going to continue.
Right.
And it's going to continue.
Right.
We have to change. So we have get in that mind. And this is not demonize the people, which I was criticized in doing. I think this is loving our people when I tell them, look, this is the situation. We have to do something about it.
Right.
Yeah.
Because they're not.
That's right. They're going to continue to be on top, man. And so, listen, guys,
I'm going to take a break. Stay with us. Stay online. We're going to continue this conversation.
I'm going to go back on mute. All right, brothers.
Listen, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You're right on time. Girl, you're driving me out of my mind, yeah.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. That was Disco Lady, Johnny Taylor from 1976, written by Harvey Scales. Harvey Scales from Milwaukee. He passed away last week at the age of 78. Harvey Scales and the Seven Sounds will never be forgotten, particularly by those of us in our community in Milwaukee who remember the Seven Sounds, Harvey Scales and the Seven Sounds very well. And that was Disco Lady. He wrote that for Johnny Taylor. Other programming here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays. Like I said, we're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. All times are going to give our Eastern times. This evening, Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia from 6 to 8 p.m. Right after Acres of Diamonds is Buy Black. Let's Buy Black, 365 from 8 to 9. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC from 8 to 10. On Fridays, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening. That's right, with Brother Ellie and Brother Richard. On Saturday, Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore from 10 to 12. On Sunday, from 11 to a.m. to 1 p.m., Revive with Sister POC. And then Sunday evening, 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. Getting back to the discussion that we're having, 646-646.
Hey, Brother Oshie. Hey. How are you, my good brother?
I'm doing fine, Jay. How are you doing?
I'm good. I guess you was out last week driving Mr. Daisy. I hope not.
No, I was. Wednesday, we had a malfunction that happened. Our server was down. And that's what happened Wednesday. And then Friday, I was in Richmond, Virginia. I was doing some history programs and some libations. Getting in the flavor of what's happening in the Richmond, Virginia area. I want to thank my good friends there in Richmond, Virginia. So I'm back and I'm ready to go. I'm fired up.
Well, my great brother Ralph, who I would like to thank for interjecting the question on this day. The bottom line, my good brother Ralph, is we allow these people to do to us what they do to us, and they should do to us what they do to us until we put our foot down and stop. It's just that plain and simple.
And you're right.
You know,
you're right.
You know, Research West was talking earlier about the country being a minority rule in 2040. That's BS. There may be more minority people, but the cracker ain't never gonna stop controlling this here. Ain't never gonna happen. Because the Negro don't have the mindset nor the desire to ever put his foot in the behind of the white man. He can't even come together as African people to put his foot in the behind of every other nationality that oppress us in this country. Because we always want to be in coalition with the bastards. I don't want to be in coalition with nobody. I don't want to be in coalition with the Monkey Men, the Twisted Sisters, the Baba Louise. I don't want to be in coalition with no effing body. The only person I want to be in coalition with is African people that's going to have the mindset of sovereignty.
I agree.
If you don't have that mindset,
I agree.
And it's that plain and simple.
Yeah.
Until we get to that point, we just going to always be in the position that we in. Look at the people who are supposed to be the gatekeepers now to our existence in this country. Nothing but a bunch of damn freaks and mulattoes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We gotta wake up and stop playing games. and talk about we being divisive and diversive and all of that other BS. No, the problem is you being smothered by everybody. You're being manipulated by everybody. You're being controlled by everybody. And your black behinds ain't got nothing to show for it. You've been here for over 400 years. You've been enslaved. And now you're talking about your damn slave. How stupid are you? And you're going to follow some damn lesbian blotto and some other Negro? Oh, you Negroes are really, really sick. But it's just going to constantly and continuously happen. Now, what I want y'all to do is, write this down, I want y'all to go to I think it's AOS 101, the new so-called website of the two freaks that are the so-called head of this ADOS and this DOS movement. And I want y'all to read their opening mission statement and all of that, and you'll see what I'm talking about.
Give me that again, Jay. Give me that again.
Hold on one second. Don't see it so I can give it to you right.
Okay.
I just got off of the website. Hold on one second.
Okay, while you're finding that, I want to go to 602. 602, good afternoon.
Hi. Brother.
Brother Marcus.
Thank my brother. What's up, my brother?
How are you, man?
I'm doing great.
Okay.
I'm doing great.
The website address is www.ados101.com.
ADOS101.com.
Now, yeah, that's that Twisted Sister, Yvette Cornell and Antonio Moore, who they say are the founders of ADOS. That's their website that they just launched today. And you need to just go there and read it right quick.
Okay.
And you'll get an idea that we're being duped again.
Okay. Now, are you saying A as in apple, D as in dog, O as in Oscar, S as in Sam?
Yes.
ADOS 101. Okay.
ADOS 101. The number one, the number zero, the number one.com.
Okay. We'll check that out.
And see what I do, Ocean fellas? When they put people out there that's talking, they the puppets. I always only look at the puppets. I look at who the puppet master is.
Yeah.
So I guarantee the Negroes are getting paid by somebody like George Soros or one of these devils.
Yeah, I hear you. Go ahead. Go ahead, Brother Marcus. You want to make a comment, Brother Marcus?
Yes. So, you know, the reason the Chinese are there, you know, is because we ain't there. You see, I remember in the 1990s when Namibia got independent, South Africa got independent, and we were advocating to look, let us go to help Namibia build. The place is loaded with diamonds. You know, let's go help our people. Cause, you know, we could all move up together. Them Negroes ran to the hill, brother. They didn't want to have nothing to do with Africa. So that's why we face this predicament we're in. With all that wealth in Africa, and we say, oh, we're poor. You know, something is wrong with us.
That's right.
You see, we are the ones here in the West who should be marketing the resources of Africa. See, if they came to us...
That's the problem. You want the white man, the daddy, to take care of you. That's why you want
the white man, Titi. I'm telling you, you're right, Jay. It's ridiculous.
I'm always. If the white man don't tell you it's steak, it don't steak. If the white man don't tell you it's good, it's not good. That's the problem. You know, why do you think Negroes behave the way they do in this country? Because their whole allegiance is to the Sky Daddy.
Yep.
And to the white man. They go to school to be able to do what? Work for the white man.
Yep.
They look for success, anything that is affiliated with the white man.
Yep.
I mean, we've been totally brainwashed
bug the white man in the bottom line, ain't nothing gonna change because you're not willing to give up the white man. It's like a heroin addict. You're not gonna give up the drug.
Hey, Jay. AJ, it's just like Dr. Fox's book, you know, Addicted to White, The Oppressed, in service to the oppressor. You know?
There's a lot of things he left out of that book. Now, I'll say this to you. It's definitely a starter, but there could be more definitive work. I mean, look at the work that Bobby Moody do. If you really want to understand and you really want to learn and you want to have a clear idea on how we need to move forward, you just got to read Bubba Baroudi's work.
Well, you know, on this program, I read Bubba Baroudi every day. In fact, he will be on the program next Monday. Next week, Monday, yeah. Bubba Moali Mubaruti will be our guest on the program. So I hope that you are prepared.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yes. You know, I think there's a small group of us, unfortunately small, you know, and there's some of us who are teetering that way, who have now understood clearly that there is no reasoning with Europeans. There is no coming. There's none of that. We must do for self, period. There is no coalitions. There is no... I'm sorry, what'd you say?
The one question that you should ask any Negro, and you want to find out what their mindset is, and you can end a whole bunch of back and forward and a whole bunch of discussion with a Negro, just ask them this, because I do it all the time. Name me one place where people of color have been living amongst themselves in peace and harmony, and the white man has came into their midst and not caused absolute havoc and destruction. And if the Negro tries to give you an answer, the best thing you could do is walk away from his black behind, because you already know he's into making excuses for his oppression. Now, if he doesn't say anything because he can't answer the question, then you could probably work with him. But any time a Negro tries to answer that question with BS and justification, you better run from his black behind, because he ain't nothing but an effing problem for you. Because he can't think, and he don't want to see the truth, and he don't have no inkling whatsoever of what his history is in dealing with that white man. It's a lost cause, brother. That's the quickest way to get rid of a Negro. Because the bottom line is, there's no place in the world since the white man has come into existence around people of color that he has got murdered, raped, stolen, robbed, and did every type of evil thing to him. There's no place in the world.
They got the whole planet on lock, man. They'll never answer that question.
You ask a white man to give you some place, and he can't even give you the place without trying to hit it hard lie. Because there ain't no place.
The white man
is the most evilest thing on the planet. There's nothing like him. And the sad thing is, the Negro don't even realize it. And don't even want to accept it. You know what I mean? Don't want to accept it.
No, because, see, they are in control of the narrative. And of course, when you are in control of the narrative, it's just like the Caucasian lady, Dr. D'Angelo, who were doing workshops at the time of when the Trayvon Martin stuff happened, and of course the divide has always been there, but it was exacerbated. And so she was having these workshops with Caucasian people, and she was presenting this information, and she realized that these people were very uneasy. So she termed it Caucasian fragility, white fragility. They're fragile. They don't want to hear about the evil that they have done. They want to believe that they are good people. They want to believe what those Europeans believed hundreds of years ago that they were bringing civilization to uncivilized people. They were exposing them to Western civilization and Western ideas and concepts and so forth. Western religion, the Christianity, and all this that was saved them. That's what they want to believe. Because that's what they've been told. You see?
They were bringing syphilis. They're bringing syphilis. And you know what? You know, this ADOS movement, you see, they realize that Pan-Africanism is on the rise, you know. That's why they fund this ADOS movement, because they realize that Pan-Africanism is on the rise, and all of a sudden, boom, this here ADOS movement come up. But what we have to remember is, in order for the cracker to do what he has to do, he has to have complicity from these Negroes.
That's right.
See? Because he's only one-tenth of the world population. So he don't have the numbers to do what he do. So he has to have collaborators, and that's what the hell these people are, agent collaborators. And we don't have no internal corrective force to deal with these Negroes, you see? To let these Negroes know, look, there is no reward in destroying our people. So, you know, anyway, I'll hang up and continue listening.
Brother Marcus, thank you once again. Hope you had a great weekend, and always a pleasure that you come share knowledge.
That's why I say people worry about white people in blackface. I think the dangerous thing for us is these Negroes in whiteface. Okay, these sellout Sambos in whiteface, man.
All these coons.
What you talking about, man?
All these coons. All this coonery that's going on.
Yeah.
So here is the website. It is ADOS, American Descendants of Slavery. American Descendants of Slavery. They're having a conference in October 5th, 4th and 5th, in Simmons College in Kentucky. They bring forth
one of the most racist states in America.
Yeah, Kentucky. Yeah.
What's more racist than Kentucky? The home of Mitch McConnell.
Mitch McConnell is Mitch McConnell is, man.
Yeah. Oh, is that not the devil? Is that not the devil in disguise?
Yeah.
And the thing, he's probably one of the most powerful in the country.
Here he represents
the truth is
Jay.
We got more power than the in the hockey house.
And here he represents a district that is extremely poor, from a state that is extremely poor, and he's become exceedingly rich.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Exceedingly wealthy.
But that just goes to show you. That just goes to show you how ignorant and stupid
exactly
white folks are.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But see, Jay, and Wes, Jay. Listen, when we talk about reparations or redistribution of wealth, Caucasians are adamant against reparations, and they're also adamant against redistribution of wealth. Because in a society that perpetuates individualism, you think that somehow you're going to strike it rich. So you don't care. You don't want the wealth redistributed. You don't want equality. You don't want any equity. You want what white folks innately are, Caucasian innately are, selfish and greedy and don't want to share. That is their mindset. That is their mentality.
Let me tell you this right quick. My old lady was hemming and hawing this weekend because she did her taxes. And she found out she wasn't getting no money. I said to her, I told you wasn't getting no money, but you didn't want to listen to me. You know what I mean? I told you that it was already a setup. You know what I mean? Now, the question becomes this. What is white folks going to do about the lie that was just perpetrated on them? What are they going to do?
Nothing.
Because you see, what happened is, when the tax thing went through, you saw an extra couple of dollars in your pocket. Now, mind you, it was the election time. But now that it ain't no election coming up for another 2 years, and you're doing your taxes, your dumb behind go see that you done got screwed. I'm just absolutely laugh and crack up. You know what I mean?
See, what happened was this, Jay, what happened was this. They say, this is the national news, they say, and this is the people who are tax preparers and so forth, and the government itself, they said that you didn't have your withholdings. They changed the tax rules, and you should have been aware of that and had your employer or wherever you get money from to withhold more money. So at the end of the time, when you file your taxes, you'll get a decent return. But you got, but you got a few more dollars in your paycheck. And that's all you got, a few more dollars, you know, on your paycheck. And so as a consequence, either you're going to pay taxes or you're going to be even, or you're going to get a much smaller return than you usually get from the last 4 or 5 years of returns. See?
I haven't done mine yet because my accountant is busy and I don't need the money, so I don't even worry about it. But I got real estate.
Oh, you don't need the money. You independently wealthy, Jay?
I'm gonna be fine. I don't even care. My whole thing is this. They took it to whereas you can't itemize no more. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
They took it to the point to whereas they increased the so-called standard deduction. So here it is. You know, I was reading the article where the woman said she was expecting $6,000 back, and she got to pay $79. Now, listen, this is what's so funny. She had already said to herself, this is what I'm going to do with the money. I'm going to pay for my last child's part tuition. Hey, let's see how that works out. You know what I mean? But all of them crackers believed in the white man. You know what I mean? But now the question becomes, are you going to governate with those who have been screwed and do something about it? Or are you just going to continue to be the sheep and let them continuously do you? Because the thing is, I know sometimes when I used to wait and hope for a return and all of that stuff,
Jay,
it's a hell of a feeling to expect to see some money
and you don't get it.
And you don't get it. And you're dumb behind went out there and bought all those Christmas presents and all of that other nonsense.
That's right.
And now you're just going to be in the hole. But the question becomes this, and like I say, it's all about, in all of this, really, OC and Wes and whoever's listening, it's how the media portrays the narrative. That will determine how it's really dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? Because everything in this country is based on the media's narrative. That's why this bastard could continue to be allowed to do the things that he's doing because of the narrative of the media and the way that he's been able to push back against the media, calling it fake news. So, listen, this is why I always say, the American-European cracker is the sheep and stupid as they come.
Well, let me say this to you, Jay. I think that, unfortunately, we are still in a hold mentally, emotionally, spiritually, psychologically, in a hold that these Europeans, I use this analogy of a vice grip. You know the vice grip. The vice grip is a hell of a tool because once you set the vice grip, you can't pull it apart. And the cracker has a vice grip on our minds. But to pull that, to release that vice grip, there's a knob at the end of the handle that you turn to release the tension on the vice grip. Acquiring knowledge of self and believing in ourselves and no one outside of us, developing a mindset of of independence and self-determination and liberation and sovereignty opens that vice grip wide open. And now you see the cracker for who and what he is. And you don't care about trying to influence him. You don't care about trying to change them because you know you can't because they suffer from cognitive dissonance and Caucasian fragility. So there's nothing we can do. Nothing. But what you do is you begin to educate yourself and those around you. You begin to prepare yourself for an African world revolution of mind. That's what you begin to do. And you begin to help African people see the beauty within themselves. And then, and more importantly, you see the beauty, not just within themselves, but the opportunity to control our very lives, to control our minds, to dictate within ourselves or what we're going to do. And not in any response from Caucasians, but a forward thinking where it is collective, where we all live and love, share freely in as African people.
Hey, Oshi, the Negro unfortunately is on remote control, bro.
Yeah.
We need to just stop playing games and call it for what it is. We suffer from whiteitis. That's all it
yeah.
is, bro.
Yeah, we suffer from whiteitis. Yeah. Because we've been deeply infected with the Urugu virus. We are.
Hey, listen, I'll give you a perfect example of a Negro in the mindset of a Negro. And this is the real deal. Do you know your boy Louis Farrakhan yesterday spoke for 4 hours?
Oh, Savior's
and
Day?
I can honestly say to you, I listened off and on for the 4 hours, and I don't remember a damn thing of what he said. 4 hours. I couldn't believe the man had the strength to do it because last year he had to take a seat.
Yeah.
This year, I'm telling you no lie, he did 4 hours and 5 minutes.
Wow.
Talking absolutely nothing. And I just want to know one thing. Why is he still all these years later talking about the damn Jew?
Yeah.
What have you done in all of these years to change the paradigm and the control of the Jew?
I think that what is most disconcerting to a lot of our brothers and sisters is the fact that there was one time that the nation had businesses. They had farms. They had this and that.
Yep.
You know, and I think that's the thing that kind of bothers some of our brothers and sisters when they look at the nation of Islam and say, you know, where's the progress? What have you done?
Hold on one second. Let me give you a perfect example. The nation has one of the most beautiful restaurants, black owned in America, in Chicago. Do you know it's shut down?
Yeah.
You know that restaurant should never be shut down.
Listen, it's been
that being your base of operations
listen,
in that city.
Jay.
Your members supposed to be going to that restaurant 3 or 4 times a week to make sure that that restaurant is open.
It's been shut down.
Expect the non-believers to come in there and be the ones that keep that restaurant open. That's the type of thinking that backwards Negroes have that claim to be conscious.
Let's keep it real. The Salam restaurant has been shut down. They have not advertised the Salam restaurant in the Final Call newspaper in probably damn near 10 years.
No, Oshi. They was opened up, brother. I think it was 2 or 3 years ago. They reopened it.
Okay, let me say this then. Okay, if that is the case, I do stand corrected. But once again, it is shut down because I was in Chicago a couple months ago and drove by off of Halstead, and it is closed.
It should be shut down. You got enough members in Chicago that they should be eating there 3 or 4 times a week to keep it open. And then you do the necessary things to hopefully bring in other people. But it's no way that your signature place is supposed to close down. and you got hundreds and hundreds of members in that city. See, these are the type of games that we play with one another.
Well, once again, you know, I know many brothers and sisters in the Nation of Islam, some who are still in, some who are out, some who are now practicing Muslims in as a Sunnah or whatever other religious group that they may be in. But my point being here is there is no religion that is going to save African people. I don't advocate religion. In fact, I'm what Malcolm said. Malcolm said if we come, and I professed, and I want us to come to the table to discuss problems that happen with Africa. If I come to that table talking about Islam, there's going to be conflict. If you come to that table talking about Christianity or any other theology, there's going to be conflict and problems. Keep that in your back pocket. Leave it at home. The only thing you need to come to that table to discuss is how are we as African people going to come together, pull our resources and do for ourselves, reclaim our land. We can't do it here. You can't be sovereign here in this. Not even crackers can do it. They try to do it in the Northwest. And you see how the government vamped on them, although they were very patient with them. And they only killed a couple of them crackers when they pointed a gun at them, were about to shoot them. They were very patient. I don't think they would be patient with us, because of course not, because we see that happening all the time. But my point is, we cannot do it here. We will never be a people of respect and nobility being in this situation that we're in. We'll always be looked at with a jaundiced eye, and we, as well as we should be. Only until we come to break these chains, release that vice grips, step outside of the imposed boundaries that they placed upon us to think and act freely, will that happen. Only. And the educational process that we have, only when you have an educational process that Baba Baruti and many other brothers and sisters, you know, who will develop an independent, African-centered educational process, not a choice or charter, not African immersion or infusion or something like bull like that. No, it has to be total. And it has to be taught and administered by us. And that's the only way.
Hey, OC, we just, you know what the deal is, OC? We just play games. We don't want to face the reality that we are a broken people who have the skills to rebuild ourselves, but the only way we'll be able to do it is to separate ourselves from this no good, filthy, stinking, no good cracker. We don't want to leave the daddy. We love the daddy. We worship the daddy. We feel we need the daddy. And the daddy is what we want. The bottom line is, you're never going to be free as a people under the rule of the daddy. Because the daddy only has one thing in mind and one objective. That's to oppress you and to take any and everything that you have.
That's to eliminate you, to eradicate you, to exterminate you. I don't give a damn which words you want to say. He wants you gone. That's period.
You know, it's just like, here it is. You allow yourself as a people to get caught up in a boogeyman, twisted sister, sick freak like Jesse Smollett, to even pay that fool any type of mind and to show that bastard some sympathy and to find out that it was nothing more than a hoax because the sick bastard can't deal with the fact that he's a degenerate. And he's acting out his degeneracy within his sick mind. But you gonna sit up here and make excuses for that bastard and then try to figure out ways to get other people to sympathize with the bastard And when it's all said and done, that bastard's still going to be sick. You still going to be in a bad position. And nothing's going to change but for those Yerugal Freak Nation members who going to be there to put their foot in your ass like they do now. So, hey, anytime you want to deal with the Freak Nation, Twisted Sister, Monkey Man, LBGQ, whatever you want to call them, you ain't doing nothing but continuously helping your demise as a people. That's all. Because like everyone else who you supposedly have been in alliance with and supposedly has been your friend, all they ever do is put a foot in your behind and a foot in your neck and use you until they got no more value for your black behind. And on that note, it is what it is.
All right, Jay. Appreciate you, brother. I'm looking at...
I appreciate you, OC. I appreciate you for having the African strength to allow the truth to be told on the program that you represented African people. Because you know, OC, and let's keep it 100, most people are scared to do what you do, to say what you say, to stand for what you stand, and to promote what you promote. Negroes don't want to be African.
No, they don't.
They want to be more American than they want to be anything in the world. Yeah. You ask a Negro about being African, they say, what is being an African? Yeah. Don't want to learn their history, don't want to study their history, don't want to analyze their history, don't want to do nothing in regards to who they was before this bastard enslaved you, kidnapped you, and brought you over to this damn hellhole. Don't even want to look at the fact of the things that this cracker has done to you as a people, done to your great-great-great-great-grandmother and your great-great-great-great-grandfather. And here it is, you talk about you want to lay up in the bed and be next to a dog like that. You make me sick thinking about it. A white man. I don't even want a damn cracker in my house.
Well, I would say this. I love Africa, and I love Africans. I fell in love with us many, many years ago, and I dedicate my life to trying my best to uphold a direction for African people that will be self-defining, self-respecting, into some self-actualization in terms of who we really are and what we really can be based upon what we have done. See, we've been trained so well to believe that we're running around the jungle with a rag up our ass and a bone through our nose, never having created a civilization of any kind or any note or any worth. And some of us believe that. We believe that. Some of us are thankful for Caucasians, just like this lady down in Florida. She said, I'm thankful that the white man brought us over here. Otherwise, I'd be over in Africa worshiping a tree. I'm thankful he gave me this beautiful religion of Christianity with him with him and his image at the top. And all I got to do is believe in it and worship it, and I'll be saved too.
You know what Mao did to people like that, right?
He killed him. He killed him.
You know what Mao did to people like her in the revolution, right?
Yeah.
You know what they did, right?
Yeah, he killed him. And that's what you're going to have to do. I mean,
there you go.
I'm going to say this, you know, because in my nature as a man, as an African man, I'm peace loving in my nature. But in the reality of where we are today, oh, no, we have to fight. We have to fight, y'all. We have to defend ourselves. And we have to move forward with our platform. You know, we have to move forward with our direction. Not some bull that the NAACP or the Urban League or SCLC or National Action Dam Network or the Democratic Party, Republican Party, all this. No. This is something that we as African people, if we are to be a people and you have children and grandchildren and you want to see them come up in a world where we as a people have that is directed by us, for us, by us, then it's the only way. But you're right, Jay. I hate to say it. You know?
You better start thinking about Mao, because listen, that's the only way that they were able to get certain changes, if the truth be told, over in South Africa when they started using that burning necklace. Then the dynamics changed a little. Listen, freedom is bloody. Freedom is death.
Right.
And the reality is there's a lot of our people that we're going to have to give dirt naps to.
See, well,
because any time you could make a statement out of your mouth about, I'll be worshiping the African tree and I'm thankful for this sky daddy religion and this and that and that and this, you need to go. You shouldn't be around your people because you are a detriment to their liberation. I mean, I always try to ask a person, how could you ever believe in a religion that your enslaver gave to you, your oppressor gave to you? How could you believe in a religion that was given to you while he was raping and beating you? How could you ever get to the point that you could accept that type of Stockholm syndrome brainwashing?
And that's what it is. And that's what it is. You acquiesced. You went ahead and you, when they told you that story, that there is salvation for you, your lot in life is bad here on the planet, here in the physical world. But in the spiritual world, you believe in this, you believe that in Jesus Christ, that he died for you so that you may live. It was a sacrifice that he gave so that you may live. When you believe that fairy tale, when you believe that story, you become docile. You capitulate, you acquiesce, you give in. But see, let me say this to you, and I want this to be very clear. That might sound like, yeah, that's what a slave is. Somebody who submits its will to a master. That's a good definition. But I will say to you, we have never submitted. Yo, some of us have, no doubt. Some of us have because out of the fear of death, they were going to see what's going to happen next. Maybe we might find a way to get up out of this. But we were never slaves. We were captives. We were enslaved by a system that has, to this very day, designed to kill us, designed to eliminate us, designed to eradicate us from off this planet. And yet we don't understand that because that's not our nature. But we don't understand who we dealing with, because the Caucasian comes at us in such a way that, excuse me, he comes at us in such a way that we really want to believe, because we don't want the hard work, the sacrifice, the commitment of doing for self. We want to try to find a comfortable damn corner, a niche somewhere in his stuff, as opposed to getting a stuff of our own. So
a place of comfort, not to get beat.
That's
not
right.
To feel the pain of the beating, to have the beating stop.
And
all of those things.
And see, another thing though, Jay, the other thing though is that we want that for me individually, because we don't care about each other. I'm blessed and highly favored. I got mine. I don't care about you and yours. It's about me and mine, not you and yours. This individualistic mindset that this country perpetuates is just all up and through us. Permeates all up and through us.
Well, the thing is, Oshie, we have to figure out a way to do what you're doing next Monday. Present our true African scholars who are trying to lead us towards sovereignty. You know, what's really sad, Oshie, is, and I don't know if we're really understanding it, there is a dying breed of African cultural scholarship. We think that there isn't, but there really is. You know, the creation of these so-called YouTube scholars is going to come back and backfire on us. Because you got to remember, the master teachers, the Dr. Benz, the Dr. Clarks, and the others had brothers like Carruthers and Dr. Baruti, Asa Hilliers, and others come behind them. The question now is, where are the young scholars with integrity and true scholarship coming behind the Baba Barutis, the Aswa Kwesis, and the rest? And let me tell you something, I'm sorry to say it. These YouTube scholars, they ain't the ones, man. Because I remember being at First World in New York. I remember being at ASCAP. I remember being in the classroom with Dr. Clark. I remember being around Dr. Ben. So the question becomes now is, who are gearing the real scholarship to move us forward that's coming from the lineage of Dr. Baruti and the others that are really doing the serious work? That's what we need to really honestly be focusing on. Because if you think in all truthfulness that these YouTube scholars are it, we gonna be in real trouble, because African consciousness is gonna go to the wayside, brother. Watch what I'm saying to you.
I understand what you're saying, Jay.
Now, we don't do the right thing and we don't get it together, there's going to be no more Afrocentricity, Afro scholarship. All it's going to be is the works that Baba Baruti is going to left and that others have left. And we're going to be in a serious, serious cultural fix. Be careful, brother. Well, this is what I'm saying.
No,
That's what you need to be pushing to Baruti every time that you see him. To all of the other so-called top scholars, you need to be saying to them, who are you training to be able to continue to do your work?
Well, we have...
Because believe me, and I'll leave you with this, Ochi, I study, but I don't study as hard as I used to. I don't read as much as I used to. So I know what the hell I'm talking about, brother. Believe me when I tell you. Hotep, and I look forward to Wednesday, brother. I hope you don't have the driving Mr. Daisy assignment come up on Wednesday.
No, brother, I'll be here. I'll be here. Me and Frank will be here Wednesday. And then, like I said, next Monday, Baba Baruti will be on the program. And
thanks again, brother. Hotep, and peace and love to the family.
Right on, Jay. You too, dear brother. Peace to you. Man, Wes, talk to me, man.
Yes, sir, man. You know what I mean? Listen to you and Brother Jay, man. Y'all put so much on out there, man.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a lot out here. I'm looking at this website that Jay gave me. I'm going to break this down and present this. And number one, I don't like this title, American Descendants of Slavery. Mm-hmm. Number one, I'm just adamant against the word slavery. And some may argue with semantics, you know. But when I hear us say, you know, yeah, they brought over these slaves. They brought slaves. Because what has happened is that's the narrative that the cracker pushes, the European pushes, because what he wants to do is to continue to put into our minds that we ain't never been nothing but a slave. They have done it even when you watch National Geographic's Learning Channel, Discovery Channel, PBS, whatever, when they show something on ancient Egypt or ancient Kemet. When they show ancient Kemet, any dramatization or illustration, the person they'll show is Caucasian. But if they show somebody serving somebody, that's right. They African. They dark skinned. Because why? They want to consistently show that you ain't never been nothing but a servant, and nothing could be furthest from the truth. But see, we don't understand that because we believe that this system, because of how it purports itself in being fair and just, you here in America, all the rights that you have, all this old bull. This is an evil, corrupt system. Europeans have been the most despicable people on the damn planet.
Yep.
As a people, I ain't talking about some Caucasian you know as an individual who's been cool with you, or maybe somebody married into your family. I don't care. I don't know. I don't give a damn. But what I do know is that they have corrupted the minds of the people on this planet, and particularly us, that it makes it so hard for me and those of us who want to help us understand why how important it is for us to be collective, how important it is for us to be trusting and believing and respecting and working with one another. It makes it damn near nearly impossible. And the reason why, Jay,
they ain't turned the vice grip handle tight enough on everybody, man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Once they keep turning this vice grip tighter and tighter and tighter, we gonna have to realize to come together, man. We either eat together and break bread together or starve separately. All right. Look at Marcus could tell you this. Most of the people, Jamaicans, Haitians, they got something called a susu. You know what that is, Osha? A susu?
Yeah, yeah. That's when you pull your monies together. Everybody pull their monies together, and then one person gets the money. They can pay their bills and do other things. And it's a constant thing of paying it forward.
Yeah, man. I tried that with my family, man. And you know what them Negroes say to my family? Oh, we don't know some people might be putting more money in and all kind of excuses, man.
Right, right. Well, see, once again, we don't understand how evil and devious this European is. And the European mind to do the divide and conquer that they've done to make us not believe in ourselves and not to believe in one another, to be so distrusting and so hateful towards one another. You don't turn that hatred towards the purpose, towards the individuals that perpetrated it, that imposed it on you, because you're trained to hate yourself. And to hate those who look like you.
Yeah.
And to distrust them. We
That's why I say I go out of my way not to even get in no argument with my sisters and brothers.
I hear you. Well, listen.
Some might not be vibrating on the same level we are.
I hear you. Well, listen, brother.
Come around. Once these devils start turning up the heat on everybody, you're going to be forced to love themselves.
I hear you. Well, let's hope so. Brothers and sisters, thank you, Wes. Thank you, Jay. Thank you, Ralph. You too.
Stay black, bro.
Please, peace, brother. We end this program, like we end all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they don't want to pay for. And it is up to us as African people to reclaim and recapture and restore what is ours. Brothers and sisters, Shem Hotep means go in peace. Esante Sana means thank you. Abibi Fahoria, our victorious destiny. Abibi Fahoria family, peace. Have a great and wonderful day.